Buffalo can hang on. This is going to be a good one.
The fans at Kansas Speedway know how to have a good time. And you are all invited. NASCAR weekend at Kansas Speedway, May 4th and 5th. Get your tickets now at kansasspeedway.com.
College Game Day is brought to you by Buck Roofing. Sleep well knowing Buck Roofing fixed the roof over your head. 913-384-2680 or rbuckroofing.com. And by Boulevard Brewing Company. Make this a season of great beer with Boulevard Brewing Company. Boulevard Brewing Company, Kansas City's beer.
Okay, college football fans, your time is now. Sports Radio 810 WHB now presents College Game Day with Danny Klingscale and Stan Weber.
No Danny Klingscale again this week. It's Todd Lebo instead of Danny Klingscale. We've always got Stan Weber, though. No days off for Stan Weber because he's got two jobs, maybe three jobs. I don't know. He works every day, and he's always rocking and rolling. We are in studio here. Stan is in Manhattan. They've got a game at 1 o'clock. Welcome into another great Saturday of College Football Game Day. Stan, first of all, how you doing this fine morning?
I'm doing great. I mean, the weather is awesome. Can't wait for football. And you think about all the locals, Todd, right here today. Three teams, three home games. If you want to talk about K-State, KU, and Missouri going west to east. So Mizzou plays SEMO coming off that loss last week against Kentucky. We'll break that down a little bit. But still, home games. How much fun is this going to be for everybody? And kind of welcome to college football to KU. Todd, it's fine. I know they played two games, but it just doesn't seem like football when you're playing on Friday, to me.
Yeah.
So to get a Saturday game and then a conference game and a game you have a chance to win against Baylor, an exciting day here across the board. So looking forward to it. And K-State, what a big game. Nevada's coming into town. Carson Strong is a guy who's thought to possibly be the number one quarterback in the country, playing for a very veteran Nevada squad. And Nevada's actually favorite playing against K-State today, so a big-time non-conference game. I am so excited. It is beautiful. It must be Saturday. It must be football day in Midwest America.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We will rock through those games as we go. Chronologically, you mentioned Missouri is up first against SEMO. That's at 11. We've got K-State playing at 1 o'clock against Nevada. And then 2:30 right here on Sports Radio 810, we've got Baylor versus Kansas. So you couldn't, like, double or triple dip and try to go to all these games because they're not spread out far enough. But it's okay. You'll be able to keep your eyeballs or your earballs on all these because let's welcome Wichita, ESPN 92.3. College Game Day, we're being simulcast in Wichita, which is very exciting, our sister station down there. So say hello to Wichita, Stan. I know that's a town that's very near and dear to your heart.
Wow. Hello, Wichita. I grew up right outside of Wichita, basically in Wichita, but went to Goddard High School, which is just right outside of town. So very exciting for everybody to be able to listen to College Football Game Day. It might be your first year you hear it this clear. They can hear 810 down there, Todd, you know, but to hear it this clearly without any problem, no matter even in your house, how cool is that? For the first time in 25 years, we get heard that way in Wichita. We've been doing this a long time. They're going to think you're the permanent host, Todd. Who's Danny Klingscale?
They'll get Danny back next week, and the K-State game will be on there as well. That's a K-State affiliate, and we're, of course, a KU affiliate here. So we've got you covered all around Midwest here with those two stations. Very proud to be simulcasting down there on our new station, ESPN 92.3 in Wichita. All right, Stan, let's talk about Missouri. They are first up at 11 o'clock, as you mentioned, against Southeast Missouri. I thought last week was okay against Kentucky. I didn't think they were going to win the game, okay? I'll say that right out of the chute. I didn't think they were going to win the game. And I thought, honestly, from hearing Eli Drinkwitz talk last week, he wasn't particularly sure they were going to win the game, and I thought he didn't think it was going to maybe be that close. But they did keep it close, but there are no moral victories in the SEC, right, if you're going to be a program-building coach. I think they did all right in the game, though. But I think I'm going to play a soundbite for you here from Eli Drinkwitz from his media briefing this week after the Kentucky game. They didn't talk a whole lot of SEMO, okay, because there's no real concern about Southeast Missouri State. But here he is talking about kind of where they are as a program compared to Kentucky. And there was a little part in about the last 10 seconds of this that might rub some Missouri people the wrong way. But here's Coach Drinkwitz talking about where they are.
You got to set expectations, but you also have to have a reality of, you know, this isn't microwave win. This isn't microwave. All of a sudden, you're SEC East champions or competing for the SEC East. Like, it's not Miracle-Gro. You can say all the right things. You can outwardly be doing all the right things, but it's still a growth process. No different than when you plant a flower or you plant corn or, you know, my father-in-law is a farmer. You got to sow and you got to water the ground and you got to tear up weeds and you got to battle heat and all kinds of stuff. And then you'll reap the reward. And I think there's a lot of positive momentum. And I know everybody wants it right now, but there's still a long process to be had on our football team. And I think we're getting there, but some of the teams that we're playing right now have 10-year head start on us in this program. And, you know, we got to get going and we got to get there faster. I know that's not going to make anybody happy, but that's the reality. And so I'm not discouraged at all.
10-year head start on where they are. He mentioned that number about Kentucky last week before the game, and he mentioned it again afterwards. And I think, man, I don't know, I'm not a true Missouri fan, okay? I like Missouri. My wife went to Missouri. But do you think Missouri fans are ready to hear that we're just not quite Kentucky yet because they've got that head start on them? I don't know. What are your thoughts?
Well, every fan base is pretty touchy, Todd, especially in 2021. That COVID year, boy, it fired up our emotions, I think. So, yeah, I can see where Missouri fans wouldn't be happy about that. But I thought what he said is very interesting because there was no coach speak in there, Todd. We want these guys to tell us the truth. I think fans want to learn about what goes on in programs and what's really happening with their program. Maybe they don't. I mean, I find, because I know what really goes on behind the scenes, everything's sanitized, okay? What the coaches say and what goes on in reality are a lot different, Todd. And I think it's amazing that he just said it like it is right there. It does take time. You're going to have to continue to grind. There's no reason to be discouraged, and all those things are true. Now, when you put it in the context of, are you better than Kentucky? Missouri needs to be better than Kentucky. And it's okay for Missouri fans to say, we need to be better than Kentucky when you talk about a five-year period of time. But Mark Stoops really does have it going on. This Kentucky team is good. And Missouri really did a nice job of fighting back. It is important that your team does not get broken. On the road, early in the game, Kentucky just punched Missouri right in the mouth. And for much of the game, Todd had a 14-point lead and sometimes had the ball with a 14-point lead. So it just didn't look like it was Missouri's day. The defense didn't look like they were going to stop Kentucky. Kentucky was excited playing at home, big game. And yet, what did Missouri do? They continued to get it to a 7-point game. And then Kentucky would go back to 14. It took a lot, I think, for the Tigers, a lot of composure to bring it back. And then, Todd, they actually tied the game.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's not time for moral victories, right? But this program is being built by Eli Drinkwitz. And I know Missouri fans so far, and I think the media, has been very sold that Eli Drinkwitz is the real deal. In fact, I think most people are talking about, well, we want to make sure we can keep him because he might be looking for bigger pastures. You know, if he were a couple years down the road, would he be interested in that USC job that opened up? I mean, everyone is so sold that this guy is just going to be as good as Gary Pinkel or better. You know, I don't know if that's fair either. I don't know that he's a great coach. Let's see him work. But he's been a very funny guy, been very open with the media. And here's an example, under pressure. A lot of guys just start changing their style when things aren't going smoothly, Todd. He just lost to Kentucky on the road and gave us that truthful answer. To me, that's a good sign for Missouri fans that the guy's comfortable in his skin, if he's willing to put his neck out there and take that criticism. Now, the thing that we got to wonder about, though, of this year's Tiger football team is their ability to play good defense, Todd. And I don't like linking last year to this year very often at all. And the Tigers have a new defensive coordinator, so I really shouldn't even do that. But last year at the end of the season, their last three games, they gave up basically 50 points each game, did the Tigers. And now we've started out with Central Michigan and Kentucky running the ball up and down the field. So right now, Missouri's a football team that has a very good schedule, a team that you can believe in and still should be looking at 8 wins or 9 wins and being very successful, getting better for the year. You got to feel good about Connor Bazelak, quarterback. He really has come through. Tyler Beatty showed up and been a big-time running back, including 200 yards in that first game of rushing yardage. But Todd is looking like a team like the Chiefs under Andy Reid when they were really good. When Bob Sutton, you know, remember when mm-hmm. the Chiefs offense was reliable and probably were going to win the game for you? But, boy, you didn't have a lot of confidence in the defense keeping their part of the game up. Right now, Missouri's giving up 5.6 yards a carry, Todd. 5.6 yards a carry. So the defense is interesting. The defensive coordinator is going to make a move. He's going to go upstairs to the booth. He's been down on the field. So he's going to just try to take a new approach and say, maybe if I'm upstairs and can see everything that's going on, I'm learning the college game again. You know, I've been around the pros for a while. So let's see if that change in the defensive coordinator's positioning going up to the box makes any difference for the Tigers today. They should really become healthy. It's not going to be a true health, but at least it's going to be a step forward. You've got to have some success before you can have confidence, Todd. And Simo's offense is really, really not very good. So this is a great day for Missouri's defense to take a step forward, for the coordinator to get used to being up in the booth rather than down on the field. But still questions about Missouri's season, Todd. My focus is how good the defense going to be, because right now, not a lot of hints that it's average. It's like below average right now, and that is going to be a hard game to win in the SEC if every week you're giving up a bunch of running yards and points.
Yeah, there's no danger at all of them losing this game today. Southeast Missouri is no contest at all. I mean, they're 0-2 and have lost by 20 points and 40 points or whatever. Missouri's going to win this game today. But as I looked at their schedule and the over-under from Vegas, I was a hard over. I was like, they're going to go over. But part of that was I thought that Kentucky was like a 50-50 game. They didn't win that one. I thought BC next week looked like that's a place you can go get a win. BC's 2-0, and they look better than they've kind of been a little bit. So kind of people had that 6-0 start in possibility for Missouri. That's obviously out now with the Kentucky loss. But next week's game is the big one to try to get that done, because I think they will be fine against Tennessee, who doesn't look like they're ready quite yet with a first-year coach. And North Texas shouldn't be a problem before they got A&M after that. But I like Eli Drinkwitz as well. I like what he says. And I think they're on the right track there. But there has to be some patience. It's just not that easy to do this, especially when you're trying to build in the SEC. All right, Stan Weber, you're going to be on the call as always. How many games in a row is this for you with K-State? It's 29, 30 years.
It's 417, I think, or
417, 400, whatever
like
it is, it's too many.
It's over 400.
You don't miss a day of work, and you're going to be out there today for what is a very interesting game. Now, I don't think anyone looking, you know, a year ago said, oh, Nevada's this or that or the other. This is a tough game for K-State, but let's talk about why first, okay? Number one, what happened last week with Skylar Thompson, went down with a knee injury, a non-contact knee injury. He's going to be not out for the year, but he's going to be out for indefinitely, quite a while. Coach Klieman, Chris Klieman, here he is talking about just the human side of what Skylar Thompson has gone through with having to miss a lot of time last year. He's going to miss a whole lot of time this year, his sixth year as a K-State player.
It's tough, without question. What he went through last year, and to be able to come back and get a chance to play this sixth year, and had the had a great fall camp, and I know that when he went down, I think all of us kind of gasped, like, oh no, not again. And it's part of the game. He knows it, and it's frustrating, because it's like, it's not fair. Why does it happen to somebody 2 years in a row? But his spirits are a little bit better when I talked to him late yesterday. But obviously it's tough. You only get so many opportunities to play this great game, and he's going to have some opportunities taken away again.
Now, we'll have to wait and see how long Skylar Thompson is going to be out. He's not going to come back anytime soon. So let's talk about the human side of this. You know Skylar Thompson well. Both of your sons know him well. You got a son who's a receiver on the team. You got a son who was a receiver on the team when Skylar first got there. He was a GA, all that stuff. What about this young man who's from right here in Kansas City, played at Fort Osage, won a state title? What about him do you think will make it possible for him to battle through this and get back and put that helmet on again at some point this year for K-State?
Well, he showed so much perseverance throughout his career, and now that he's been here for his sixth year, you know how we always joke there's a certain player on certain teams, you go, like, he's been here forever. Well, Skylar Thompson's kind of been that way. He's tied for K-State's all-time record, Todd, 32 starts in his career, and hopefully he'll get back on the field and get that 33rd and separate from L. Roberson. But he has been through so much here. Remember, he was playing with Bill Snyder and Alex Delton, and he were battling it out who was going to be the quarterback early in his career. And that's some football stress. You know, not only the physical stress that he's been through, especially last year, he's been through the mental stress of, you know, do they coaches believe in me? Do all the players believe in me? Should I believe in myself? Am I even the best quarterback? Or am I going to make a mistake and get pulled? All those things have gone through his time here at K-State, and now he's just a grown man. He really is. I mean, we talk about these guys come here as 17 or 18-year-old as boys leaving their parents for the first time, and they end up leaving as men. There's no doubt about it. It's true of all college students, right, Todd? You know, when you went to college, it's completely different how you end and how mature you are, and just add on into your sixth season. So Skylar Thompson really is just rock solid, and he's just the grown-up in the room. So the guys who know him, the players and the coaches, they have complete confidence that he knows exactly the mentality he needs to have, value every play, but then value every workout, value every session with the trainer. And those are the things that get you back. And so they know right now he's investing and believing in the system. He knows everybody from the doctors to the trainers, the secretaries. I mean, no one's more at home around K-State football than Skylar Thompson. So, Todd, he's doing all the right things behind the scenes, getting himself prepared. So when you're around the program, it's kind of like we were saying with Eli Drinkwitz. What really goes on compared to the perceptions, a lot different. These guys know players get injured, and they're so used to it, Todd, that they don't freak out. Maybe when he was on the field and the emotion of the stands and 50,000 fans going, oh, my gosh, what happened to Skylar? I thought the team was affected. But by Monday, they're back to business. And they're so used to next man up, let's get to work. There's a lot of guys in the training room who you know nothing about, Todd, who are going to go out there and give it their all today, and you're going to assume they're 100%. So Skylar has every capability, mentally, physically, and even spiritually, to get back, and he's doing all the right things, which is good. I'm glad to see that he's not out for the whole year. So is K-State Nation. So are the players. But as far as the mentality this week, I think they moved on and are ready to roll against a good Nevada team.
All right, so Will Howard is slipped back into the role, and he got to play a lot last year as a true freshman. Is Will Howard ready to be the quarterback on and play winning football? Because they ended up losing a lot of games, and it wasn't all Will Howard's fault. I thought last year K-State played shorthanded way more than they needed to, but they did, in my mind, the right thing. Chris Klieman wanted to go play these games. He didn't want to say, oh, we don't have enough healthy players, we're not going to play. Is Will Howard a good enough quarterback to play winning football for this team?
Well, that's a question that we're going to have to find a lot more about today. He started 7 games last year, and he obviously feels a lot more comfortable this season. The thing about playing the position, Todd, is not only doing things pretty well down after down, it's avoiding those disastrous plays. I mean, if you're taking a class and you're getting 100 questions on the test and you get 94 of them right, I mean, you're pretty much high-fiving everybody leaving the classroom, aren't you, Todd? I mean,
yeah.
Solid A, baby. I knew that material. Well, think about for football plays. If you have 100 plays and you mess up on 6, those 6 and you're the quarterback, everyone thinks you played awful. Okay, so can you cut those negative plays out of your game? That is the hardest thing to do. It's even harder, Todd, than playing well. I think many quarterbacks, many players around the country have better attributes and probabilities of making plays that are winning plays in college football than they do of avoiding the mistakes. I mean, how does Alex Smith like quarterbacking get into your DNA, right? How do you avoid the interceptions? How do you avoid the negative plays, the dumb sack? Those kind of things are really hard for quarterbacks to do. Will Howard definitely has the capabilities, like I was talking about, to make plays and win for K-State. But you go back to the last game, he played for 3-plus quarters. K-State, when he came in, was leading 7-0, Todd, and was in the red zone. He finished off a drive. You don't want to give him much credit for that. That's fine. But scoring 7 points is a big deal. So, okay, we got 14. Do you realize the next drive he got the football, he drove down the field, and K-State scored another touchdown to go up 21-3. And included in there was a great throw over the middle. It'll sound like I'm talking because it's my family, but not really. It was a great throw on 3rd and 13 to get the ball to Landry for 21 yards over the middle. You know, great throw, great catch. K-State moves down the field. So we talk about that, Will Howard. Yes, yes. K-State's going to be in good shape. Not as good as they are with Skylar Thompson. But Skylar Thompson, when he was playing his second year, probably wasn't much different than Will Howard is now. Don't forget that. He needs some growth time. But, Todd, the pick six Mm-hmm. And in that same game, Will Howard fumbled when he got sacked. Not getting hit from behind, getting sacked right in front, lost the ball. So which is he going to be able to cut those plays out? That'll be the real question today, Todd. And we'll need to see, because the 2021 version is going to be better than the 2020 version. But I don't think we saw the 2021 version last week with those plays. Maybe we did. Let's see. Today is a great test, because you're going to have to play well. And if you do, K-State's going to be right there. There's no reason why K-State can't go win this game against Nevada. They're at home. The crowd's going to be rocking. They have some advantages as well. But Will Howard's going to have to play clean football. And that doesn't mean clean football running 18 out of 20 plays. Right, Todd? They're going to have to pass. They're going to have to pass. And I think Will Howard has improved in the passing game. But today will be a giant test to start answering your question. So let's don't jump ahead and make predictions. Mentally, he's ready to roll. But that doesn't cut it playing college football or big-time football. Being able to avoid mistakes is a big part of the job of being a quarterback.
All right, now they're facing Nevada, who, if people don't know, we've been talking about this all week, they've got a quarterback who is, in all of the mock drafts, a first-rounder. And some of the mock drafts, the overall number one pick, his name is Carson Strong. Here's Chris Klieman talking about what this kid is bringing to the Wolfpack.
I think he calls a lot of the things himself, the line of scrimmage, out of their tempo. Although they can go fast, they'll slow it down some so that he can get them in the right call or the call that he likes. Tremendous arm strength, mobile guy he so many coverages and he's seen so much and played so many snaps. It's not easy to fool a kid like that, guys that have had that many snaps. And we just got to do a great job of being able to rush the passer and be competitive on a lot of potential 50-50 throws.
Carson Strong, first-round draft pick at quarterback. This is not what probably people expect when Nevada comes to town. But how good is this kid? And he's not alone, right?
No, not alone at all. First of all, the kind of quarterback he is, he's an emotional guy. He really gets into it. He wants to win. He wears his emotions on his sleeves. If he throws a bad pass, he just says, I can't believe we're punting. If he needs to yell at somebody to get over in this position or run your route correctly, he'll do that. He's got a very strong arm and a quick release. Okay, he gets rid of the ball quickly. He throws the ball well. Now, what he does exceptional, Todd, that is different than most quarterbacks, even in the pros, is he throws a very accurate deep ball. He throws the deep ball well, loves to throw the post pattern, but also can drop in the ball on the deep fade route. You know, the 45-yard catch where the defender's on the inside and you drop it over the outside shoulder. He has the capabilities to do that, and he can throw off all platforms, meaning he doesn't have to have his feet set. He can just flick the ball. They throw the ball down the line. They throw the ball deep. But what's very unique about their offensive system, Todd, is they run a ton of crossing routes. But the receivers who are crossing from side to side don't just necessarily run to about 12 yards across the field. Sometimes they'll just stop and act like they're going to cross, and other times they'll cross and one of them will jet up at a 45-degree angle and make it a deep throw. That is the hardest play to guard in football, Todd, because you think he's running along the linebacker area, and then about halfway through, when you think you got a crossing route, you've read all the routes, he jets at a 45-degree angle and runs like a flag, and he can be wide open. They have Jay Norvell, first of all, who is an unbelievable coach at this team. He was with basically Bob Stoops for most of his career, right? He's been everywhere. Texas, UCLA, Arizona State. He was an assistant for 3 years for the Oakland Raiders, 4 years for the Colts. He was at Iowa State, but the big stop was with Bob Stoops, right? There with the winning and offensive coordinator work and wide receiver work there. That's really where you want to talk about him. But don't forget, he actually played for Iowa, was a defensive back, became a GA there when Bill Snyder was an assistant at Iowa. So some ties. He also was a GA at Northern Iowa, where Chris Klieman was a defensive back, Todd. Mm-hmm. So they actually know each other, all kinds of ties. But back to the offense. Don't forget that you not only have Jay Norvell, quarterback Carson Strong, you got offensive coordinator Matt Mummy, whose dad is Hal Mummy, the guy who invented this air raid stuff. Todd, it wasn't Mike Leach. It was Hal Mummy who taught Mike Leach about the modern football. His son, Matt, was a quarterback in Kentucky. He's in his fifth year as the offensive coordinator. And at wide receiver, they have Romeo Dubs, a star wide receiver that had over 1,000 yards receiving last year, Todd, in a shortened season. Think about that. 1,000 yards receiving. 2 years ago, the star player who was hurt last year and is back is Elijah Cooks. 2 years ago, he had 76 receptions. And they have the best tight end in the Mountain West Conference in Cole Turner, who had 49 receptions last year, 600 yards and 9 TDs. They have weapons on the offensive side. They got a career rusher in Toa Taua. This kid's got about 2,400 yards rushing, Todd. So they have an elite offense from A to Z. Coaching, experience, receivers. It's a very, very good offense. This K-State defense, which has not even given up 300 yards in their first two games, Todd. They're pretty good, too. What a battle this is going to be, K-State's defense against that Nevada offense. And K-State fans probably ought to feel a little bit better about that performance in Dallas, Todd, because you may not have caught it, because I don't know how late you stay up at night, Todd. I know you studied enough. But fans may not realize that the reason why Todd Helton, the USC coach, is fired is because Stanford went in to the Coliseum in Los Angeles last Saturday night and dominated USC from start to finish. So a lot of people are wanting to write off K-State's good performance against Stanford, saying, oh, Stanford is not very good anymore. Well, they went and whipped USC, so you ought to feel good about how good your team is. But a big test today, and very rare, very rare. How about K-State at home against a non-conference foe and being an underdog? That has not happened much in the history of K-State football since Bill Snyder's walked in.
Yeah, that's for sure. 1 o'clock, that's Nevada at K-State. We'll keep our eyes on that. Stan will be there for sure. We're going to take a quick break here on College Football Game Day, come back and preview Kansas and Baylor next.
I see a team getting better. You can see they're more comfortable in year two and what they're doing. It's going to be two athletic quarterbacks that can have the ability to run and throw. They have explosive playmakers like everybody in our league. It's going to be a good challenge, but, you know, that's what we expect, and I know our guys are excited. I think the one thing that does help us right now is that there is an excitement about the opportunity to start conference play right now.
Welcome back into College Football Game Day. That's KU coach Lance Leipold talking about the big game against Baylor today at 2:30 right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I'm Todd Lebo in for Danny Klinkscale. Stan Weber is on the call as well. He is out in Manhattan, K-State. We just talked about they've got Nevada a little bit later today. How about Baylor walking in here? Stan, we mentioned a little bit earlier in the show that this is maybe a chance that KU's got a chance to win. Now, they're still like 17-point underdogs, so it's a relative thing on chance to win when you're dealing with the Kansas Jayhawks at this point. And they are playing on a Saturday for the first time, as you mentioned. I still don't know much about what Dave Aranda's Baylor team is. Do you have a grasp on what they are yet?
I do not. All kinds of hints across the board. At times they play so well that you go, this reminds me of the Baylor that was just here a few years ago, which is top 25, no doubt about it, right? The speed to kill, a wide open offense, all those things they still dabble in, and Baylor at times looks that way. And then at other times they look eminently beatable and near the bottom of the conference. So most people say Kansas is the 10th in the Big 12 right now. They usually say, because Texas Tech hasn't proven it yet, let's slot them in the 9th spot. But Baylor might be 9th, or they may be 5th. They are definitely a wide-ranging football team, and they had Charlie Brewer there forever as a guy whose dad and grandfather were starting quarterbacks at the University of Texas, but he was the starting quarterback at Baylor. It seemed like he'd been there forever, and I thought he was a very good quarterback. But he actually left and transferred. I think he's a starting quarterback at Utah right now.
Yeah.
So now we introduce another variable in here. You had a starting quarterback who'd been there forever who transfers. What's going on in football, Todd? What is this transfer portal? Oh, that's another subject.
Yeah.
We'll talk to you about that in a roundtable sometime. You're the starting quarterback for Baylor, and you say, no, I'm moving on. Well, that means that Gary Bohannon gets a chance to step in there. And what is he going to be able to do? We're not sure yet, because Baylor played a couple of pretty easy games to get to this point. And today, when you look at Kansas's opportunities, I think they're there. It's a beautiful Saturday afternoon. There's got to be an excitement level for Lance Leipold football. I thought it's funny when you had the soundbite there and he said, oh, the teams like this in our conference. And I go, wait a second, you've never played a conference game yet. So it's kind of funny that he acts like we played against these kind of teams week after week. But he has played against good competition, and KU, I think, is going to be excited. The question for me in this game is, how good is Baylor this year? How good are they with this coaching staff? Now in their third year, And how good are they going to play today? So often, teams have kind of walked in and been very sleepy playing against Kansas, thinking they have an easy win. You've seen Oklahoma State play that way, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oklahoma State just barely got out of KU a couple years ago.
TCU nearly every year has
TCU
issues.
TCU, every time they come, it seems like. So Texas in the day, you know. But I'm just saying, even recently, Kansas, when you say, ah, oh, there's no way KU is going to win a conference game, has been in some games. They whipped West Virginia three or four years ago at home about this time of the year. So Baylor's better if it's the best version of the range I'm talking about of the Bears. I mean, Tristan Ebner is a big-time offensive player. He's averaging over 8 yards a carry. He's an established guy. The quarterback's completing 68% of his passes, has a turnover to football. They have guys who can strike from anywhere on the field. They can run the football. And they have a head coach who came from LSU as a defensive coordinator. We don't know really if he's put his stamp on this program as a new head coach, Todd, but they're supposed to be playing good defense. I've not seen them be a dominant defensive team yet, but they have a couple of guys that stick out. Terrell Bernard, number two, Todd, if you get a chance and you're in a stadium and you get a watch, this guy flies around. Jalen Petrie, number eight. Those two guys, number two and number eight, can blow up the game. They are big variables. Kansas has got to make sure that those guys don't hurt them. But I think this game is much more about Baylor and what they do. It's their choice if they want to win this game. But if they mess around, Todd, I think they're set up and Kansas will be ready to pull off the upset. This season has unfolded where Lance Leipold is one of those in one of those movies where right as the gate closes, he slips his leg out of the way and doesn't get caught. Indiana Jones type stuff. I'm not much of a movie guy. Am I hitting this right, Todd?
That's
that
right,
Indiana
yeah. Yeah.
Can you kind of see one of those scenes uh-huh. where he just continues moving the board? They had a disaster on their hands when they were behind and had 4th and 10 at home on that first Friday night against South Dakota. Okay? That was unacceptable to lose that game. But when they won the game, people were cheering on the field. And the players said, hey, we won a game. This is a big deal. They didn't look at the negativity. They didn't, you know, go to social media and said, oh, you just beat South Dakota. They were excited. And you also had a quarterback in Jason Bean that said, hey, I don't know what you're talking about, this KU stuff. I mean, I was at North Texas last year. Why can't we win? He went and made plays. But you were worried about their offense at that point. When we were speaking last week, it was like, look, KU's offense is stuck in the mud. Unless that speedster, Jason Bean, scrambles, they have no offense. But that changed last week, Todd. We saw on the field that now Jason Bean is more comfortable in the passing game. They have some threats on the outside. They have a better running game. And they were able to score in the red zone running the football. They were able to take a super punch right at the end of the first half and turn it around and start the third quarter without the ball and be the first to score. Got themselves back in the game. That was very impressive against Coastal Carolina. My point is, like Indiana Jones, they had some bad stuff happen. But the sequencing I saw for this season was just beat South Dakota by one. Any win is good. They did that. Learn how to fight against Coastal Carolina. Don't back down. Run around the field and hit some people. Get better offense. They did that. And here's your chance. If things continue to improve and get better, they could win today. And there's also optimism around the program, Todd, because sometimes you look ahead to the next week or two, and if you're going to play Alabama, Clemson in the next two games, your whole program's like, oh, boy, if we don't win today, we're never going to win again. They play Duke next week, and that is the best opportunity to win. They're better than Duke. So today, I think Kansas is going to continue to improve. I don't know what you think, but I was very impressed with Jason Bean's improvement, showing he can pass the ball. He's a threat running the ball. The team's playing better. The one thing that scares me about KU football today in the next few weeks is how many hits is Jason Bean going to have? He's not a frail guy, but he's more of an angular player, and he cannot take shots, Todd, and continue to not get beat up and be injured. So that is the thing that concerns me, him running the football as much as he has to, getting hit in the pocket with an offensive line that really hasn't come together the way it needs to yet. That's the biggest thing. Are the coaches going to have to try to avoid calling certain plays because they need to keep him together for the season, or are they going to let it loose and play their best version and try to go for the upset today? It'll be interesting to see. If Baylor plays their best, they win. If they mess around, I expect Kansas to be right there, and anything could happen.
You mentioned the connections between Jay Norvell, the Nevada coach, and some of the K-State coaches and the Big 12 coaches we all know about. There's a little bit of a connection here with Dave Aranda and Lance Leipold. Dave Aranda was on the Wisconsin staff a few years ago, and that's back when Lance Leipold was still at Wisconsin Whitewater, where they had so much success. And he mentioned in his press conference earlier this week that Dave Aranda was very nice to them when the, you know, this is Division III and big Wisconsin guys who were, even though they're their assistants, he said they were very gracious and nice. So these guys have known each other for a while. And Dave Aranda was talking on the Big 12 conference call this week just about the reputation that Lance Leipold had back at Division III. And then what he brought to Baylor, he says this team looks like he's already putting his stamp on this version of the Jayhawks.
They play hard. The effort level is very high, and I just believe it's very easy to see. And so you could see there's a simplicity with what they're doing. And so I think both offensively and defensively, when you compare the schemes that they had at Buffalo, it's cut down. But I'm sure it's cut down due to the circumstance and no spring and all of it. Secondly, I'm sure it's cut down so that they can execute, you know, and play it fast. And you're seeing that, man. So there's fight on tape.
A lot of fight on tape, Dave Aranda talking about the Kansas Jayhawks. And we talked in the first segment of the show, Stan, about patience at Missouri, right? I mean, there really needs to be patience at Kansas. These guys got hired in May. Basically, I mean, they were a kind of hired when they had the spring game, but they didn't get a chance to do anything with these players till after the spring game, because there's a whole different coaching staff. Like, they were just waving in the wind out there in Lawrence as they're trying to build their football team. So they need to have some patience here with KU, and we'll see if they have patience. I think there will be some patience, but they do have an opportunity, like you said, today against Baylor, and then especially next week against Duke. Let's take a quick break, Stan. We'll come back, and we'll talk more about what's going on in the rest of the country, because we do have some big games besides our locals. You are listening to College Game Day right here on Sports Radio 810 and in Wichita on ESPN 92.3. Welcome back into College Football Game Day on this Saturday. I'm Todd Lebo, in for Danny Klinkscale. He'll be back tomorrow. Stan Weber is on as always. He's in Manhattan. K-State's got a big game today against Nevada. Home underdog, as Stan mentioned last segment. That game starts at 1 o'clock. We've got Kansas and Baylor for you right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. And Missouri is at 11 o'clock start against Southeast Missouri State down in Columbia. Also, I want to remind you at 11 o'clock, Joshua Briscoe. I saw him in there earlier today, a special edition of Sports Saturday from the American Royal Barbecue. Briscoe looked a little haggard early in the morning, but he is going to be on from out there at the American Royal Barbecue, which the fun part happened last night. The competition gets real today out there, and we want to welcome our friends in Wichita on 92.3. We are simulcasting on that station as well today. All right, Stan, let's talk about some other games going on in the Big 12. Top of the hour, we're going to do a whole lot of Oklahoma and Nebraska. We've got Greg Sharp coming on. But we got four new teams coming in this league. One of them played last night. Central Florida ended up losing at Louisville. And I don't think people think much of Louisville. This is probably a pretty bad loss for Central Florida. I'm not saying their season's done or the program's no good or anything. But what did you think about them last night on the road at Louisville?
Well, it's so funny to start watching these teams like they're going to be teams we're going to be covering. That's the main thing. I was going, wow, I'm supposed to know about this team better than I do. So I was watching the game, and they're a solid football team, and Gus Malzahn coaching them. They got legitimate coaching like they always do. But the main thing was just how crazy football has been. Okay, you remember Monday Night Football at the Raiders? Then you saw Thursday Night Football with the Giants and the Washington football team. What's going on in football, Todd?
It's crazy.
Last night, they were on defense. Louisville's trying to get in field goal range. The ball got tipped up. They had an interception. Central Florida makes an unbelievable individual play. They get an interception. They are going to kick the field goal to win. And on the next play, the ball bounces off UCF's receiver into the air. Louisville intercepts it and takes it back for a pick six. And Louisville wins at home.
Wild.
So I don't know much about Central Florida as far as where they're going to fit in. They play high-level football. I'm watching them differently. It was an amazing game last night. And, oh, by the way, Illinois almost beat Maryland, and Maryland, too, they kicked a field goal in the last play of the game. So two good games last night. But, you know, I think about the teams. BYU has a giant game today against Arizona State. And I know it's a big game because I care about football, and I'm going to be watching tonight. But then you go, oh, wait, they're going to be in our conference pretty soon. And how about Cincinnati, Todd?
Road game
Cincinnati
in the Big Ten.
Cincinnati has a giant game against Indiana. They're a top 10 team. They play against Indiana. We talked about how they lost and were disappointed in that game. We're getting whipped in week one by Iowa. But how good is Indiana? I think they're going to bounce back. Cincinnati's next 2 weeks, Todd, very notable. Not only because they're a top 10 team, but because we're going to be watching them. They play this week against Indiana and next week Notre Dame. So let's watch Cincinnati and see how good they really are as they prepare to play in the Big 12.
Yeah, Houston's got Grambling State at home. Houston lost the opener in that game at NRG Stadium against Texas Tech when Texas Tech was down, and they fought back, and that was a really big win, I think, for Matt Wells. So we'll watch Houston as well. We have our eyes on a lot of teams now. We cover the Big 12. We cover the SEC. It is pretty wild to think that we're kind of watching them with a different eye now, because we don't know exactly when they're all going to be in the league. We know BYU's coming in 2023. We'll see when the others work it all out. I hope it's all done by 2023. I don't want to do this for the next 4 years. I don't want to do this
for the next four years. You know, there could be another expansion from the Big 12.
Oh, I know.
You know
they're talking about Boise.
Yeah.
So we got a league game tonight. Oklahoma State's playing at Boise.
How about this? Think about this a little bit further. Oklahoma State, Boise, playing tonight. We'll teach it. You know, Oklahoma State's been off to somewhat of a slow start, right? I mean, Tulsa was right there with them. They've not been dominant.
They weren't particularly good against Missouri State. I mean, they're 2-0, but kind of, you know, very tenuous 2-0.
It hasn't mattered with OSU. You know, 4 weeks later, they're playing great ball. So, again, like Iowa State getting stumbling and losing, Oklahoma State has had a number of times where they haven't looked good early, but then they start winning games. Well, today, their feet will be to the fire. Remember, conference play starts for Oklahoma State next week, hosting K-State. So that's going to be a very interesting game. But today, watch what's going on. Boise State and Nevada from the same conference are playing against Oklahoma and K-State. How is this going to turn out? It'll be amazing if, you know, the two current Big 12 teams go and get their wins. You say, yeah, let's go. Good win, K-State. Good win, Oklahoma State. What happens if Boise and Nevada win the ball game? And is Boise playing to show the rest of the Big 12 that you made a mistake? You shouldn't have picked BYU. You should have picked us. But it's a big game tonight because OSU has not played great in their K-State's next opponent. Very interesting game in the Big 12. How good is Oklahoma State? We'll learn a little bit about that today. But I thought it was kind of funny. Here we go. Another team that's right on the verge of being considered an expansion is playing. And Boise State against Nevada is big-time football later this year. And now they're playing against K-State and Oklahoma State. Very interesting today.
And Boise State's one loss this year was at Central Florida. I mean, another future Big 12 team. That was a pretty fun game on the opening week. That was 36-31. Central Florida won that one at home. So pretty wild to think about that. Now, there are a couple of big national games to think about as well. Alabama is making their first trip to Florida since 2011. That's the dumb part about what the SEC schedule is like. Perhaps when they get to 16 teams, they'll play in pods, and we'll get to see these games more often. But it's ridiculous if you're in a league and you go to a place every 10 years. That's ridiculous. But that's what we're dealing with here. I think Alabama is clearly the class of college football. They're the class of the SEC for sure. But we're getting into like the program building for Florida at this point now, right? They've got a couple of interesting quarterbacks. They don't have Kyle Trask there anymore. The swamp should be rocking. But does Florida have anything for Alabama?
I'm going to bet on Alabama being ready to roll. Obviously, the swamp's a hard place to go, and you're talking about a team that's an SEC East championship level team, Todd. I mean, you just can't give it to Georgia and say it's all over. So Florida is the best that the SEC East has to offer other than Georgia, and you get to see Alabama go on the road. So hopefully it'll be a close game, Todd, but until proven otherwise, I just kind of in my mind keep thinking Alabama's leading by 14 as we head into the fourth quarter. Hey, don't you see that happening again?
Yeah.
It's unfair to expect perfection from them, but I think Florida's trying to find a way under Dan Mullen. I don't think they're there yet. I think that they're not closer to Alabama. They're closer to Missouri and Kentucky. Does that make sense? They're a step above, but they're beatable on a given Saturday by the Kentuckys and Missouris of the world, and that usually means it's going to be pretty crazy that you can upset Alabama. As a college football fan, obviously, I hope we see a great show and Florida plays out of their mind in their two-quarterback system and can keep it close against Alabama, but I don't think they're quite to that level.
And, you know, the sick thing about Alabama is they got a brand-new quarterback, right? their last quarterback is starting for New England. Their quarterback before that is starting for the Dolphins, right? The quarterback they shared with Oklahoma is starting for the Eagles. And their Heisman Trophy winner is catching touchdowns from Jalen Hurts. It's wild the amount of talent they have. So I agree with you. I think Alabama wins this game. But I do think Alabama can lose because it can happen. Any given Saturday, something can happen in college football to make it happen. And it's more likely to happen in the Swamp than somewhere else. That's 2:30 on CBS. So we'll keep our eyes on that one as well. Another one, this is an intersectional game. This is Auburn going to Penn State. Penn State is undefeated. They won a snooze fest week one at Wisconsin, but they won the game. That's what you have to do, survive in advance in those tough games. I don't think they've got enough offense to kind of compete here with what Auburn has, but it's still a first-year coach for Auburn. Remember, they fired Gus Malzahn. Wasn't good enough. He's down at Central Florida now. Brian Harsin, huge game for them at Happy Valley, night game, whiteout, the whole nine yards. Can Auburn take the show on the road in this very, very tough environment?
Great interest because it's the first time Auburn has ventured into a Big Ten opponent's home and gone on the road and played on an on-campus facility since 1931. So you're watching something that's really significant right here. I don't believe in Bo Nix and Auburn yet, Todd. It's been 6-7 years ago when we thought that Auburn versus Alabama was national championship level football. Auburn's just been a team. They have not been a factor. LSU has been there more recently than they have. They've kind of fell more into the middle mix, which is a strong middle mix of the SEC. But is that strong middle good enough to play against a upper middle Big Ten? I don't know. I think Penn State's going to find a way to win the game. I think the place is going to be rocking. James Franklin, a guy I know very well, was an assistant coach at K-State and stayed in contact with. I think Penn State's going to show their best today with College Game Day there. I don't think Auburn is just that, lay the SEC mantle out there and be dominant and be more physical. I don't think that's going to happen. So I'm going to give Penn State a slight advantage in that game.
Yeah, we'll see how that one goes. That's the night one. And I want to talk about one more game that I've got my eyes on. As an Oklahoma fan, right, Oklahoma barely beat Tulane in week one. They had a nice lead at halftime. They had gotten some turnovers. They only scored 3 points in the second half. Had to survive an onside kick, and Tulane had the ball back. Well, Tulane is playing at Ole Miss. Ole Miss is ranked 17th in the country. They're undefeated. Earlier this week on the SEC conference call, Lane Kiffin said that Tulane looks like an SEC team. I mean, Tulane's got some talent. We know that. Willie Fritz is a very good coach. He's from our area. Some people had said, hey, maybe this should be the guy that Kansas hired. He's got Tulane going the right direction, but this will be another tough task for him. This is a true road game going in to Ole Miss. Their game against Oklahoma ended up getting played in Norman, but there weren't nearly as many fans there because it was supposed to be at Tulane, all that stuff. Is there a danger factor? I know that's one of the things you like to talk about. Is there a danger factor for Ole Miss against Tulane at home?
Yeah, absolutely, because Tulane can take it to a high level, and they have nothing to lose, and they have a chip on their shoulder. They are going to put stickers on their helmets today that say, back to the tradition of they were an original SEC team. Do you know that? Tulane was an original SEC team, and they won 3 SEC championships. So they're going to have a sticker on their helmet, Todd, with swagger coming in there going, we're dangerous. We used to be in the SEC. Here we go. So a lot to learn about what we think of Oklahoma when we see this game. But I do think Tulane's dangerous. And how good is Mississippi under Lane Kiffin this year? We don't know. They haven't lost yet. They may be one of the better teams in the conference. It's just hard to tell. Is Auburn going to pop? Is Mississippi going to pop? In the SEC, is Missouri, is Kentucky? There's a lot of really good teams in the middle that you don't want to deal with if you're not an SEC team. But this year's flavor is who takes off and plays well. It might be Mississippi. They may really have a good team. It'll be fun to watch. A couple of quick things I want to make a note about, Todd, before we go in this segment. And I'm going to love talking about the 50th anniversary of the 71 Oklahoma-Nebraska game with you and Greg Sharp. So looking forward to that. But Virginia Tech at West Virginia is a big game today. Virginia Tech's ranked. West Virginia plays as hard a schedule as almost anybody in the country other than maybe Stanford. They have another tough game at home. And then, Todd, before we let you go, this segment, I've got to mention one other thing just for you, okay, but a little bit for me and others. Clarification on my games. This is my 418th game coming up straight for K-State, so I'm excited about
418.
That.
418. That's pretty
this
good.
This is your second straight week doing the College Game Day, and you don't get to host that often, so I want to give you a chance to talk about how about Arkansas kicking Texas butt last week.
Oh, that was fun.
And they play Rice today. You can make a comment about the Rice game or the Arkansas game. But we kind of called it here saying last week we thought Arkansas would play out of their mind and be dangerous, but I didn't think they would whip Texas the way they did physically. That was interesting. Where is Texas and Sarkisian? You won't learn a lot today with Rice, but I want to say that so Todd Lebo could hear it while he's the host of College Football Game Day.
And Rice gave Arkansas all they wanted in week one. So now it's like a little three-way round robin. Now Rice is going to play Texas. We'll see. All right, we'll take a break here on College Football Game Day. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Greg Sharp of the Husker Network breaking down this 50th anniversary of the game of the century. You're listening to College Football Game Day on Sports Radio 810, Kansas City.